Now the bonding, I said, between the iron oxide, Fe2O3, and the covalent compound SiO2 was quite different. So we need to look at the bonding and make sure we're clear on different types of bonding. So in ionic solid, we have no discrete molecular units. This is the norm. And instead, we have cations and anions arranged in a three-dimensional lattice so that each cation, and here we can see sodium is very small, dark gray, attracted through space electrostatically to the chlorides, which are the anions grouped around it. Now, note, when I say no discrete molecular units, I'm trying to make sure that you do not think sodium chloride exists as an NaCl unit in the structure. If you have polyatomic ions, then you can have a molecular cation and you can have a molecular anion. So I say the norm is to treat these ionic solids as behaving as independent cations and anions with no molecular units, but be aware you can have molecular polyatomic ions. What would be an example of a molecular polyatomic anion? Yeah, you could pick a anion of silica, yeah, SiO4, with some minuses on it would work. Think of something easier that you might find in water. It's a polyatomic anion. Got a few common ones. Sometimes you do rock chemistry. If you're looking at a limestone, what would you expect to find floating around in water? Yeah, carbonate, spot on. CO3 2 minus. So that CO3 then is a molecular anion. Okay. Now, ionic bonding, typically if we're looking at straightforward cations with anions where these are a monoatomic species, so just one atom of each, then it'll occur between elements on the left-hand side and elements on the right-hand side of the periodic table, so metal with a non-metal. The metal will become the cation, it'll lose its electrons, the non-metal will become the anion, it will pick them up. The bonding then between the two is electrostatic.